Back on the morning wake up here, your hump day edition, 1320 WILS. Dave Ackerley, your genial and affable host, I hope, as always. One of the big stories that we've been following here, along with the rest of the country, has been increasing our conversation on the immigration side of things, the immigration debate. Part of that's been just basically under the control of Donald Trump, for good or ill. If you're in the GOP, you're probably enjoying some of the rhetoric there. If you're a Democrat, there's been a lot of hit back with that. But then came last week, the shooting in San Francisco of a tourist there, apparently randomly, Kate Steinle, by a man, Francisco Sanchez, who has been in and out of the country numerous times, an illegal alien who was wanted. But that city, San Francisco, one of many, including we have two in Michigan, Detroit and Ann Arbor, that are sanctuary cities to various levels and degrees. San Francisco basically let him out. And he says, one of the reasons why I'm here is because it's a sanctuary city. He told that to media there in a jailhouse interview. Political strategist, author of Ladies, Can We Talk? America Needs Our Vote. Debbie Georgados is here to join us and discuss this issue. Good morning, Debbie.
Good morning, Dave. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being here. Well, it's brought this back into the forefront. I'm not sure what will come of this, but what's your take overall on sanctuary cities and, I guess, both the political and economic mindset behind those across many of the states in the United States? There are many so-called sanctuary cities.
Sure, there are. You know, I think this incident, this very tragic incident in San Francisco, is a real opportunity for Americans to relook at the question of sanctuary cities, whether they should be permitted. And there are at least 142 sanctuary cities in America, including big cities like New York City and Philadelphia and the entire state of Oregon. And I think that there's really a need to look at the original idea behind sanctuary cities, you know, really several decades ago, with sympathy for people coming from countries who are truly impoverished, just looking for a way to find, make a new life in America, or who were coming here because of persecution and lawlessness where they lived. And so there was a sympathy among especially liberal residents in big cities to protect them. But I think sanctuary cities need to be reassessed in light of the current immigration situation in America at the border, which is at our border. We have, as many of your listeners I'm sure know, we have drug cartels bringing people over. We have gangs that are wreaking havoc in many southern states, Mexican gangs. And we have reported crossings of people related to Middle East violence, ISIS and other Islamic terrorist groups. So there's a need to reassess who's coming here and how much protection sanctuary cities should give them. I'm thinking that the federal government could just say, you know, we're going to cut funding to these various cities until you end the sanctuary city thing, because it's creating an unsafe environment in your cities for your citizens.
What about, I'm going to play devil's advocate here. What about someone who says, look, you just said there's more than 100 of these cities. California has, I believe, the most. San Francisco is one of them, has a very liberal policy on this. And yet this kind of incident makes headlines because it doesn't happen every day. It's rare. And it's not what the intent of the law is. It happened that this guy fell between the cracks. It did happen. It was regrettable, tragic, but it is definitely not typical. How would you answer that?
Well, I think that if you just look at the number of immigrants who come here and do not intend America harm, no one's really talking about rounding up everyone who entered illegally and trying to send them home. But people who've committed crimes is a whole different ball of wax. And this gentleman had five deportation orders, seven convictions. He'd been in prison. And, you know, as a quick note on how many other similar problems we have, just this like 2 weeks ago in the United States Congress, Senator Sessions and Grassley sent a letter to the Attorney General, Secretary of State, and right. Homeland saying, pointing out there's 121 illegal immigrants in America who avoided deportation orders based on previous criminal convictions, were let go by ISIS, and now stand charged with murder. So it's not an isolated. And the other quick stat I think your listeners might want to know about, the Center for Immigration Studies had a report out last year talking about how ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, acknowledged releasing over 30,000 criminally convicted illegals who had committed over 80,000 crimes. And so it's not like this was a horrible incident, and it's unspeakably sad for the family, but the growing complexity of the population coming into America means we have to relook at how quickly we can deport people and how much we must insist on city and state governments cooperating.
So, Debbie, you think rather than this being, it's rare that it's occurred, but that we have many, many hundreds, if not more, ticking time bombs out there that could be another replication of this right now, today?
I think that's what Senator Grassley's writing about in his letter to those federal agencies. And I think part of the solution to it all is to have better coordination at the federal level with the federal immigration authorities, just simply being able to act more quickly. Because part of what happened with this guy in San Francisco was he was in jail. He'd been in federal custody. He was in jail. And San Francisco's even saying if there had been a formal court order in place allowing us to hand him back over to the federal authorities, we would have, but there was no formal order. There was just a detainer request. Mm. And they're essentially saying this detainer request isn't mandatory, so you didn't have to do it. There are all sorts of fixes to the federal and state systems that would prevent things like this or reduce the likelihood that things like this would happen.
A lack of sharing intelligence, information, data, and lack of coordination. Where have we heard that before? You just change the subject, insert a new one, and it's there. Debbie Georgados is a political strategist, author of Ladies, Can We Talk? America Needs Our Vote. Where can we find you online, Debbie?
The best thing is the Facebook page, Ladies Can We Talk. It's full of information. The website, ladiescanwetalk.org, is under repair, but the Facebook page is a great place to go.
Debbie, thanks for joining us this morning. We appreciate you being on the show.
Dave, thank you for having me. Have a great day.
That story itself may settle down, but the issue won't, and it will be and has been ramped up as a hot button for the campaign. We should see more of that in the days and weeks to come. More of the show straight ahead here, Early Bird Hour on your Wednesday, Hump Day 1320. This is WILS.